well-known passage of Scripture in the book of 1 John, way over toward the end of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. You'll find 1 John, little John, that's what they call him, because it's a short book. 1 John. First John chapter number 1. Now the message this morning is to a certain group of people in here, and I don't know who you are, but the Lord does and you do. And the Bible gives us instructions on every area of life. There ain't nothing you can go through that the Bible don't have something to say about it. I've heard people say, well, the Bible don't say nothing about it. The Bible says something about everything. God didn't leave nothing out of His Word. Now, on Christian people, young people, every one of y'all, listen to everything I'm getting ready to say this morning. This might be a message that determines how the rest of your life's going to go, what you do, what I'm getting ready to say right now. And mamas and daddies too, middle age. And I'm going to preach this morning. You listening? I'm going to preach this morning on what to do when you have sinned. What to do when you have sinned. I need your attention. I need you to listen to every word I say. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God for that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You ever met these people who think they don't never done wrong? They're just kidding themselves. They have. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank God for that. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His Word is not in us. Anybody in here gets up and says, I ain't never done nothing wrong. You're calling God a liar. Because God said you had. Your wife knows you have. And your kids know you have. And your husband knows you have. You ain't fooling nobody but who? Yourself. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's like a lawyer. A go-between. Somebody go between you and the judge. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation, the go-between, the middleman for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now here's why I want to introduce the message this morning. I guarantee you there's people sitting in this church today. You're saved. You're saved as I am. You're saved as Billy Graham. You're saved as your blessed grandma who died and went to heaven a few years ago. And you've messed up. You've done something that in your mind was really, really bad. And as soon as you sin, the devil jumps on you with all fours and starts condemning you and telling you all kinds of things. And you think, what's the use of me trying? Maybe I'm not really saved. I'd have never done something like this if I was really saved. I'm a hypocrite. And you know what the devil will do? He'll put a temptation in front of you and say, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? It ain't no big deal. It ain't no big deal. It ain't no big deal. Come on. And then after you do it, he'll jump on you and say, boy, you a sorry, low down, good for nothing. And he's got you then. That's the devil's trick. Now, I'm not dumb. Used to, when I first started preaching when I was 19 years old, and I was preaching revivals in church when I was 19, traveling around, I looked at church people and I thought, what a nice, fine bunch of Christian people. I don't do that no more. And it ain't that times have changed, but that I've learned that every one of us in here this morning is made out of that old sinful flesh. And we just as well admit it this morning Ain't no use putting on no big act like you're just great, wonderful person that don't ever say nothing you shouldn't or think something you should. Get off that stuff. God ain't going to help you until we start dealing with our sins like He wants us to. Now, you've done something you shouldn't have done. A lot of times when young people are dating and they're really on fire for God, and then such something changes, you can tell it by looking at their face. I can tell it by looking at you. Who's sinning? You can tell it. I've been looking at faces long enough so I can tell. You're bright and just soak it up. And then when you fall into some kind of sin, regardless what kind of sin it is, your whole countenance changes. You look at the preacher like this. Instead of, you know, just your conscience is bothering you. You look down. You don't want to sit near the front. You know, the devil has got you. Then all this guilt comes on you. You think, oh my goodness, what I've done is such a sin. And then you start thinking, God ain't never going to bless me no more. And God ain't never going to use me no more. And I've done messed up. And then the devil says, well, you've done messed up this much. Won't you just go on out and live in sin, quit church, and go to the devil? That's what he'll do to you. Now, what should a Christian do when they sin? Now, I'm going to say three or four things this morning and let you go. This is not like I usually preach. I'm going to go a little bit slower and a little bit quieter than I normally do. So come back tonight and we'll get it in another gear maybe. But this morning I'm going to teach you a little bit and say a few things about what to do when you have sinned. First thing I want to say is don't panic. Don't panic and give up. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. If he can ever get you down, the devil says, you failed God, you failed your family, you failed your friends, everybody's lost confidence in you, just stay down. And if you're not careful, you're thinking, well, I'm just going to quit church. I'm going to resign my Sunday school class. I'm going to quit the choir. I'm going to quit. And if you're not real careful, you'll panic and do something real stupid. Now, I want to tell you something about your sin this morning. What you've done last week or week before, whatever, it's the first time, and it's not going to be the last. I'm not saying you might commit a particular sin again, but I'm telling you, when God saved you, He already knew what you was going to do, and He saved you anyway. It didn't take Him by surprise. The Lord didn't say, oh my goodness, I didn't know He'd have done that, or I wouldn't have. That ain't the way. The Lord knew from the day you was born everything you was going to do and everything God did. It didn't. Did you? One preacher put it like this. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God has never been sitting there and think, I never thought of that. That's never happened to Him. He always knew everything. He knew everything in the beginning. He knows past, present, and future. We can't even comprehend that. So your sin, what you've done, did not take God by surprise. So don't panic. God knew it ahead of time. God knew when you was up singing in the choir with a shout in your soul that you was going to fall a month later or a week later. God knew it. God already saw it. So don't panic. The next thing I want to say, do not try to justify it. Do not try to justify. You know what a lot of people do when they sin? They start trying to get all right. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. What is wrong is wrong. And you can't make it right and I can't make it right. There ain't no use in us trying to say, well, under these conditions, and I couldn't help it, or everybody else, you know, why? You know, everybody's a sinner, and that is the wrong attitude to take this morning towards your sin. You watch a person that's always trying to justify what they're doing wrong. Well, my mom and daddy got divorced, so I'm an alcoholic, you know, or my mom and daddy split up, so now I'm on drugs. You cannot blame it on somebody else. You cannot justify it. You can't make it right, no matter you stay up all night and try to figure out a way, and you can't make something wrong right. Something that's wrong is wrong, and you can't make it right. You hear me? You can't make wrong right. You just well fake. You just well say, I'm wrong, I've done wrong, and wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. If God said don't tell a lie, and we tell a lie, you say, well, there ain't no well this and well that. It's a sin, and don't try to make it not sin. Amen? Now, you watch people never get help who's trying to justify their sin. I heard about this fella. He was just an old drunk. And the preacher talked to him all the time. He said, if you don't quit drinking liquor, it's going to kill you. He said, everybody sins a little bit. This is just my sin. And the next Sunday, the preacher said, if you don't quit drinking that liquor, it's going to kill you. He said, preacher, nobody's perfect. This is just a little bit for the body. Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. You know, he's trying to justify it and make it all right. He said, that stuff's going to kill you. He said, nah, preacher, I'll be all right. One Sunday morning, the preacher decided that he would prove him wrong. And the preacher said, you drunks back there in the back. He said, you won't listen to me. He said, I'm going to show you what alcohol will do. He pulled up a jar of water on the pulpit, a clear jar. Over here, he put a jar of white liquor on the pulpit, right here. He pulled out some old red worms about like that. And he took that red worm and he dropped it down in that jar of water. And boy, that worm went swimming around here and doing like this, you know, and round and around and around. He said, you see that? Everybody said, yeah. He pulled that same worm out, dropped it in that bottle of liquor. And he said, when he did that, that worm just curled up like that and just made a ball and went to the bottom and died. He said, now do you see that? The old drunk back said, yeah, I see it, preacher. He said, you know what that proves? And the old drunk back there said, yeah, it proves drunks don't have worms. Now, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to say, you know, some people, no matter how bad you tell them, well, what I done's all right, and what I done's different. And in my case, God made an exception for you. God don't make no exception for you. God don't make no exception for me. You find the greatest men in the Bible, God never made no exception for them. I don't care how great they was, if it was David on the throne, if it was a beggar laying on the street, God don't make no exception. What, and you're getting in big trouble when you start trying to justify your sin and saying your sin ain't a sin. Because your sin is a sin. It's wicked. It's black. It's ugly. It's horrible. It's nauseating to God. You cannot justify your sin. The Bible said if we say we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. So people have talked themselves into sin. Well, I know we're shacking up, but you know we love each other and we are true to each other and God understands. No, He don't understand. He don't understand that. He said it's wrong and He don't understand it. Am I right? Say amen. Amen. You say, but ain't no buts. Ain't no exceptions. I'm not accepted. You're not accepted. If it condemns you or your kids or me or my kids, it's still wrong and you can't justify doing wrong. The worst thing you can do when you do song is try to justify it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But God knows we love each other. Yeah, He knows you're full of the devil too. And God don't make no exception. God don't make no exception. You can always look around and find somebody who's new. One old drunk said, one guy said, well, I'll tell you something, preacher. He said, I take a little drink every now and then. I ain't gonna lie to you. They always say that. We don't ever ask them to lie. But they always say that. I ask them, people come to church every week. They say, I ain't going to tell you no lie. I didn't say lie to me. I said, I don't want you to lie. I want you to come to church. And he said, I ain't going to tell you no lie, preacher. I take a little drink every now and then, but I never get drunk. I ain't like some of these people. And you go talk to the next fellow, and he said, I'll be honest with you, preacher. He said, I do get drunk on special occasions, Christmas, and that went a while, but I ain't like some of these people drink every weekend. You go talk to the next fella, he says, I tell you, preacher, I drink, but it's on the weekends. It don't interfere with my job, and I do get drunk on the weekends, but I'm back work on Monday. Next fella, he said, I tell you something, preacher, I drink every day, be honest with you, but I still make it to work 5 days a week. And anyway, next fella said, tell you the truth, preacher, I drink all every day, and I've lost my job, but I am good to my wife, and the next fellow said, well, I tell you one thing, I get drunk every week, but I don't throw up in public like some of these people. And next fellow said, well, I do get drunk and I do throw up, but I ain't never rolled in over in it but twice. And you just keep going down, 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 down. You can always look around and find somebody worse off than you are. You can look around and say, well, I ain't as bad as him. Well, listen, brother, you don't worry about him. And don't worry about him. We're zeroing on your sin this morning. What to do when you have sin? What to do when you have sin? Don't justify it. Amen? Let me say number three. Don't try to pay God back for it. You listening? When you do something wrong, listen to me. Don't try to earn God's forgiveness. It's an insult to Him. Listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. When teenagers do wrong, I've seen them over and over and over. They'll say, boy, I really messed up, Brother Danny. I'm going to get in here and I'm going to pray more and I'm going to read my Bible more. And I've had young couples many times. They'll fall into sin and they'll immediately say, we're going to start reading 5 chapters every time we go out on a date, or we're going to have to start doing this. What you're doing is you're trying to say, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll do this and I'll do that. And you're trying to earn His forgiveness, and that won't work. It's an insult to God for us to try to pay for our sin. Now, we ought to read 5 chapters. We ought to pray. We ought to be faithful to church and all that. But make sure that you're not trying to say, well, if I go to church every Sunday or I'll do this, maybe God will forgive me. That's blasphemy. Don't try to pay for your own sin. Your sin has already been paid for before you was ever born into this world. That's what will liberate you. That's what will make you shout. That's why I can stand in front of you this morning. I can't pay for my sin. Thank God so I done paid for it. Now, let me illustrate this. Let's just say this morning that I... Brother Andy, come up here and help me just a second. Let's just say this morning that I owed the bank a lot of money. And my daddy... I know he looks like my daddy, but he's really not my daddy. Say he was my daddy, and he was rich. Okay? He's the richest man in North Carolina. You listening, boys and girls? I'm trying to make this real simple. Y'all listen? Okay. He's the richest man in North Carolina. And let's say I owe the bank, or money, and I get groceries. Or let's just say I fill up my car with gas. I fill up my car with gas. My gas for my 4Runner is $27 for a tank of gas. And I pull it out. I say, I've only got $10 here. Sir, I've only got $10. And I owe you $27. But I promise I'll never do it again. Please, I'll never do it again. I know I owe you $17, but I'll scrub your floors. I promise I will never. Oh, it's not a scriptural thing when you do something wrong. Listen to me now. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. When you do something wrong to say, God, if you'll forgive me, I promise I'll never do it again. You ain't supposed to promise God you'll never do it again. That's not the way God... You show me in the Bible where He said you promised Him you'd never do it again. You don't know what you're liable to do. He said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Brother, this old flesh is capable of anything. You might do it again tomorrow. Well, some of y'all said to me like, oh. And then others of y'all saying, you're right. I'm glad we got some honest people in here this morning. You don't know what you'll do. You can't put nothing past this old flesh right here. You're supposed to say, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll never do it again. That ain't what He said. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just forgive. Now, Daddy told me before I left, he said, son, if you need any money, I got my card here. I got the money in the bank. And here I'm here. I won't go to my daddy. I'm over here saying, sir, I promise I'll never do it again. The truth is, I will do it again. I'll be in here in a couple of days wanting more gas when that runs out. Now, you know what we do? We sin and we do something wrong, and then we come, then we'll say, God, I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray. I'll fast. That'll make up for it. And God, you know what my father's here saying? Son, that hurts my feelings. I put all the money in the bank for your gas. I put the money in the bank for your car. I put the money in the bank. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it's good to be sorry. We ought to be sorry for our sins. We ought to have godly sorrow. We ought to have repentance. We ought to turn from in our heart and all that stuff. But it is wrong for us to say, God, I'll fast if you'll forgive me. God, He's saying, look, the blood is what's going to pay for your sin. And the blood's in the bank. And that's what'll take care of it. Listen, people. What if I said, man, I owe you $27 for this gas, but I'll bring my weed eater over here and weed eat around your building. Right. He don't want my weed eater, he wants money. What if I said, sir, I owe you $27 for this, but I'll paint the restrooms in here for it. He don't want me to paint the restrooms, he wants his money. Money is wired to pay for gas. Now, When we sin against God, we owe a debt. You know what God's required to pay for sin? Blood. Not good works, not good intentions, not fasting, not church membership, not reading 10 extra chapters in your Bible. God said, my payment is in blood. I want to see the blood. When I see the blood. Listen, when I sin, brother, I have a tendency to do the same thing. I think, oh Lord, I've done something. I've done wrong. God, I'll fast double this week. God, I'll read my Bible double. And God's saying, look, that ain't what I want. I want to see the blood. And when I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, put it under the blood. That's what satisfies Him. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. You know what He wants you to do with your sin this morning? Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. You can't go back and undo it. You can't come back and change anything you've done. Listen, if you had all the money in the world, you can't turn the timetable back and live this week over again. Or last week, or the week before, or the last 10 years. You can't. All of us would like to. All of us would like to say, boy, if I had that to do over again, I'd. But you can't, brother. It's gone. It's gone. So let me tell you what you can do this morning. You can get it under the blood. You can be forgiven. You can be washed and made clean this morning in the blood of the Lamb. You know what to do when you've sinned? Don't try to pay God for it. So I'll read my Bible more. Don't do that. You say, well, I mean, it's okay to read your Bible more, but that ain't going to get your sin forgiven. Okay, Brother Andy, you can sit down. I want to say three things. Three things this morning will go. I don't know who this is for this morning, but I guarantee you there's some people in here this morning that you've done something that you thought you'd never do. You have committed a sin that you used to criticize other people for doing. I've seen young people in groups, you know, say, you know what I heard? I can't believe they did this. Then as soon as they get a boyfriend, they fall into that same sin that they committed criticized that other young person for doing. I've seen adults in church. I've seen people say, I can't believe so-and-so did this. Then when they got divorced or they committed the same sin that they criticized the other person for doing. And ain't none of us above it. If you think you're above it, you'd be the next one to go down. Bible said, if a man thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. So I'm going to tell you three things this morning, and I'm through. God gave me this message yesterday evening. I wrote these notes down. Come down here to prayer meeting last night, and I woke up about 5 o'clock this morning and finished it up. Three things you do with your about sin. Number one, turn from it. Turn from it. You can't help sometimes if you're running down on the wall and you trip and fall in a mud hole, but you don't have to waller in that mud hole. Get up. Wipe yourself off. Take you a bath. If I went out there this morning and I fell in a mud puddle, you know what I'd do? I'd take these pants and send them to the cleaners, put the Clorox on this shirt, boy, put it in the washing machine. I'd clean up the mess. Don't say, oh, well, no use me ever trying to look nice again. I fell in the mud. No. You take a bath, brother. You know, when you come in stinking and nasty of the evening, you don't say, shoo, well, I guess I'll just stay like this the rest of my life. No. You say, I take a bath. I pray. Some of you, I don't think, does, but most of you probably do. There's a weird twang in here sometimes on Sunday morning. They are. I ain't kidding you. It's a mixture of sweat, liquor, and sheen. Or I don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you, brother. Listen. When you get dirty, you're supposed to take a bath. Here's a man said, well, I ain't taking no more baths. Why? Because I took 2 last week, and here I am dirty again. Might as well give up. No, you take another one and another one and another one and another one and another. That's the way your Christian life is. You say, well, I went to the altar and confessed that and here I got dirty again. You can't live in this world and not get dirty. You can't live in this world. See, hear that music. See that stuff out there. TV, everywhere. These kids that go to school, you can expect their heart to get dirty. You can't throw a kid in a sewer and expect it not to rub off on it. But thank God there's a bath. Thank God for the blood. Thank God. He said if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the good part. That's the good part. You watch these people. You turn from it. Here's supposed to be my attitude. When I do something wrong, and by the way, it is my attitude. I don't care what you've heard, what somebody told you. When I do something wrong, I say, God, I'm sorry. And in my heart, I've turned from that. And by your grace, I never want to do that again. turn from it. Number two, learn from it. Learn from it. Amen? Learn from it. Ask yourself a question. Am I better off? Show you something. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Perfect environment. Lay down at night on a bed of lip. Didn't have to worry about spiders or snakes. Eat anything they wanted to eat. Didn't have to exercise. Didn't have to get up and go to work. If Adam and Eve had had children, it wouldn't even have hurt the woman to have a baby. Adam didn't have to work. He could command animals. They'd do whatever. They had perfect environment. And then one day they sinned and ate that fruit. They got drove out of the garden. They had to live and make the living by the sweat of his face. Eve liked to die every time she have a young'un. And have to suffer forever. Now let me ask you a question. Was they better off after they sinned? No, sir. Learn from your sin. You're never better off after you sin. You're worse off. Sin looks good right there at the moment. And you think, man, I want to do that so bad. But then after you do, you're worse off. It's like wrecking your car. Brother, it always leaves you worse than it found you. Learn from it. It might be fun for a few minutes while it lasts. Then there's hell to pay. You're always worse off after you sin. Turn from it. Learn from it. And finally, number three, run from it. Run from it. If you get snake bit in a blackberry patch, and then you go get snake bit again in a blackberry patch, and then you get snake bit again in a blackberry patch, sooner or later, it's going to sink in on you. I'm going to have to stay away from that blackberry patch. Or else get me some mighty thick iron boots or a gun or something. Run from it. Run from it. I mean, a man who's a former alcoholic can't get a job in the liquor store. I mean, you're putting yourself into a place of temptation where the devil's going to make you fall again. You can't do it. I mean, where you are, I mean, brother, here we say, well, I'm going here and you're like that little boy. Some of y'all are like that little boy whose mama told him she kept fussing at him for stopping and going swimming in that pond on the way home. She said, well, don't you do that no more. I'm going to beat the fire out of you. And so he took his bathing suit with him just in case he was tempted. way in the back of his mind, he thinks, I'm going to be tempted. Yeah. Like that fellow said, I can resist anything but temptation. You know, sooner or later, one guy got up and he said, one man said, everything I love is either illegal, immoral, or fattening. And that's the way it is. That's what everything the flesh likes is illegal, immoral, or fattening. God just fixed it that way. Everything's good for you, taste off. Everything's good for you, it's hard to do. That's where your flesh is. Let me give you this story and I'm done. Back in the Revolutionary War in Pennsylvania, this is a true story and I'm through. There's a preacher, a local preacher by the name of Peter Miller. Peter Miller was a pastor of a little church there in that community. And there was a man who lived near his church who hated him. He cussed the church. He cussed the preacher. He hated God. Oh, Lord, it was awful. Well, that man got in the army and was convicted of treason and they sentenced him to death. He's going to die at the scaffold. That's how they put him to death in the Revolutionary War. And they was going to kill him. When Peter Miller heard that his enemy was going to be put to death, he ran to General Washington and pled and begged for that man's life. He said, I beg for that man's life. And George Washington looked at him and he said, what you talking about? He said, I'm sorry, your friend is guilty. He said, I can't help your friend. He said, he ain't my friend. He's the worst enemy I got on this earth. And he said, you walked 60 miles on foot to deliver your enemy? And the preacher said, yes, I did. And he said, that makes it different. Here's your pardon. And signed that man's pardon. He said, you take it to him. He's free. Because his greatest enemy got his pardon. And Peter Miller went to that thing and has taken that fellow to the scaffold, getting ready to kill him, getting ready to execute that man. And he pushed his way through the crowd. And that old wicked man being executed looking, he said, well, there's old Pete Miller. He's probably come over here to laugh at me and point his finger at me and be glad I'm dying. And he pushed his way through that crowd and handed that fellow a card and said, here, this is signed by General George Washington. And that guy took... with the enemy of God. Every time we love this old stinking world, we're like God's enemy. And thank God somebody saw that one day that we was going to do that and came all the way down here from heaven and let him put nails in his hands and in his feet. Hallelujah. Amen. And said, hey, pay for what they've done. I'll pay for old Danny's sin. I'll pay. And I don't know about you, but I'm taking my pardon this morning. Jesus bought my pardon. And he bought one for you too. Quit beating yourself up. Quit letting the devil throw a guilt trip on you. You say, well, Brother Danny, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I ain't trying to justify your sin. I'm just saying the way to handle that thing is get it under the blood and forget about it. What to do when you sin. Turn from it. Learn from it. And then run.